Sorry for the technical Sorry for the technical difficulties. What's going on?
What's going on, family?
I heard that, man. So before we even jumped in, Tank, I said you working as soon as you leave the show tonight.
Man, I've been running hectic the past 3-4 days. But yep, I'm going to work tonight.
Where you going to be at tonight?
Been at McKinstry's Hall. It's a plant shutdown party. You know, we have parties for everything. It is the plant shutdown party. Pre-Thanksgiving, pre-Turkey Day.
Meek, what's going on?
Nelly just got out of my car from Crystal. I'm doing big things, thousand things this evening.
Right.
I'm trying to cook. Excuse my grandson for coughing. Get out. So yeah, it's Thanksgiving time. It's the season of cooking. Until you're tired,
yeah.
And then everybody eating show up real cute in their clothes.
Right.
Can we do a show why it's so important to get dressed up to go eat for an hour and a half?
I don't know. I don't have any input on that because I show up. Since I did the cooking, I'm probably going to have on some gray sweatpants and a bandana on my head. So, cuteness for me.
Joe, what's
going
on?
Just preparing for this this day of fate. Got these turkeys getting ready to drop in the fryer. Got my outfit picked out for the living room. I'm done.
Sounds good.
That's what's going on.
Ain't wrong with them living room. They ain't nothing wrong with them living room fits. They say that's what's happening. So,
come on, so, man. You gotta be fly for the living room. But I'm
you gotta show like your cousin and your uncle. You gotta show your uncle that you know that you got it. Your uncle gotta show you that he got it. Your little cousin, he got it anyway.
I used to tell my girl before she came over with the family, if my uncle don't say, nephew, I see you, she's gonna have to go home and change clothes.
Right. You know. It's Iron Bowl. It's special this week. It's Iron Bowl week.
Iron Bowl weekend.
My grand.
Ready for Iron Bowl weekend.
Right.
Yeah, this is a big Iron Bowl than usual.
It's going to be a very important Iron Bowl, man. You know, I think we're going to have to win by like 201 just to prove a point. Like, we're going to have to show the committee that we're not playing no games, even with Matt Jones. So, yeah, it's going to be a big game. 5 points matter.
You're not. I'm rocking with Mac, with Mac 10. I'm rocking with him, so maybe get it done.
Yeah, I'm rocking with Mac 10.
But I mean, we also need to win by about 17.
Got to. 5 points matter.
Tall order. 5 points do matter. That's a tall order.
Yeah. But I do think, you know, for a quarterback with what is it, second or third start, to go against, you know, a top ranked defense like Auburn. Like, don't get it twisted. Auburn got a good defense. It's solid. So, you know, Matt Jones go out there and win, period. On the road in the Iron Bowl, I think he did a lot.
Right.
Well, we definitely need a W.
I would be impressed.
Hey Meek, I know you had a busy day at work. What y'all got going on over there?
Listen, I did 32 loan applications today.
You did how many loan applications?
32.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I'm coming or I'm going. So, this is our third year. We do a loan sale. So, as long as you qualify, you can get the best rate. So, at 7 o'clock, it was 1.99, and then the increments went up. I think about 0.5%. I may be off. I'm sick of looking at numbers. But so from 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, there was different increments you could get. We even had a lower rate. So the rate on personal funds, like unsecured money, was 6.99, but you can do a 60-month loan at 1.99. So people took advantage of it. And I ended up doing 32 applications. I didn't close 32 loans, but I did 32 applications.
I should have sent this old nerd over here up there to get on the old loan list. But look, we had such a great conversation 2 weeks ago. Y'all made me ashamed to go try to get me some little money to blow. Because, yo, I won't mind to blow. It ain't for no college fund. It ain't for, it's for champagne. Listeners, don't judge me. It's the holidays.
Well, Tang, you want to go ahead and hit us with some news?
Well, the sports has been part of the news this week because, as we all know, it's been a real slow week in the entertainment news. We're not really into the Messi news, and that was the biggest news, or Marion dropping his boy Tears on his birthday. It's a shame. It's a shame in entertainment news that this is the biggest story.
Do your thing, O.
Do your thing, O. O said he wasn't faded. None of this. All this was weeks in the making. On his birthday, he going to wait till the end. Now, Jay is the king of Pettyville, right? Are we all agreeing to that?
Yeah.
This was a Jay Pesci move off the top on your birthday. Ain't nothing wrong. I don't mean nothing by it, but I'm just going to listen. We're just going to do it on your birthday.
Jay Boog, pretty wicked off of Jay Boog, like, he just want to dance. He just want to dance and get a check because he can't sing.
Right.
So he don't brag.
Well, Marion is not playing with us. Because they said they'll get a back. One thing about it, we've all been noticing, it's been a resurgence of a lot of these throwback groups. And now we're getting to the point where they throw back. So, that's.
The bag definitely got messed up.
The bag was affected.
Most definitely. I loved every minute of it, though. I loved every minute of it.
I was like, whoa, look at O. Look at O. Oh, my plan.
Strategic.
With the holidays coming up, there's a couple of little albums y'all need to be listening to over the holidays. Be on the lookout for Fab. Fab dropping tomorrow at midnight. For that one, it's going to shake the streets up, so you'll probably get it, like I said, tomorrow at midnight on your streaming platforms.
Is that who?
Fabulous.
So we can listen to Fabulous again. We ain't canceling him like R. Kelly since he knocked out our two front teeth. Since she forgave him, we got to forgive him too.
That's a great question. Now, Tamika, that's a great question. I missed when we got rid of him, so I guess I'm going to see if Fabulous checking for him. I remember the incident that you brought that up, but I didn't know he got dismissed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got married. It took him to knock out her teeth and charges, and he married her.
Yeah, I felt she was still with it, and she's not one of them on the, you know, R. Kelly is peeing on girls and messing with kids. he had to get counseled. Now, he knocked your teeth out, and you go back with him. That ain't my business. If you back with him.
Hey, yeah, like I think Fabulous is one of the most underrated lyrical artists of all time. I think if she forgave him and married him, I don't want to abolish him, like, at this moment.
I mean, I had to ask because, well, how long ago was it that Chris hit Rihanna in the Lambo, and every time he make a new song, somebody remind him of when the time he hit her in the Lambo? They'll never let that die down.
But I'm rocking Chris with Chris Brown. You're right. They're gonna hold on to that Lambo, but I rocks with a Chris Brown.
Chris Brown just dropped a new album 3 years after the break off of Rihanna in the Lambo. That man can't
do it. They
remind him of Rihanna every other day, bro.
They're not gonna let it. Long as she's big and she falls off, he's still gonna be reminded. And as long as he's up, he's gonna be. It's like Ike Turner. Ike Turner would never shake whooping on anime.
Yeah.
That'll never go away. Nothing he can do. So, Jay, what you been up to, brother?
Oh, man, I've been off most of this week. I've been low-key. I'm actually getting my house fixed up, get ready to go and get it. So, and I was actually going to touch on this when we kind of get to our topic. I got some guys of Mexican descent that are working over at my house, and let me just tell you, they put in work.
Is it because they're Mexican, or is it because that they just take pride in their work? They know you're white.
Say what? Say that last part again.
Is it because they're Mexican, or just because they're good at what they do? They went ahead and put in work. Because if you're handling yourself professionally, that's, I know it's a stigma. I don't want to be racist, but there's a stigma about Mexicans and the work being cheaper and all that other good stuff. But I just think, and contractors are hard to find, because you and I talked about this, Jay. They have to come with references, be in the phone book. It's a lot of stuff, because there's a lot of people out here that's got hammers on their waistline and don't know what to do with them.
They're going to charge you, though.
They're going to charge you. They're going to disappear. They're going to throw away their burner phone, so you can't call
them. They damn sure going to get a new phone.
Hey, listen. Like she said, listen. My dad, a lot of people know my dad. He is one of the number one gangsters. And a contractor ran off on him like it wasn't that. <Get them brothers. laughs> I told him. You paid this man all the way? Yeah, man. He know me? Oh, okay. Ran off on the plug. But I think our Hispanic comrades, gone is that stigma of them being cheaper. They might be a little cheaper, but they're not just blowing out the price. But they're going to work. They're going to work their asses off nonstop. They're going to get it done. Because they're ready to go on to the next one.
Right. And the thing about it is, if you sign with one, he's coming with a crew. They're coming with a crew, ready to work.
And they're going to knock it out.
Getting my house fixed up, getting the roof redone, getting my deck torn off. But, yeah, just trying to get the work done and get ready to get my house sold. So if anybody out there in Game 7 world would like to buy my house, it's definitely for sale in about 2 or 3 months.
Sounds awesome. Hey,
where's the house located?
Off Old Mill Street, right off of Greensboro Avenue.
Okay. I know a couple of people that actually have been looking for them. The housing market is hot right now. And so I've known people that have been looking for a house and they keep getting snatched up so fast that it's making them tired.
Right.
Like they just re-signing their leases and trying to get it later. Because as soon as the house goes on the market, it's moving pretty fast. So you picking a prime time to be trying to fix it up and sell it.
Yeah, your timing is impeccable, my brother.
We're kind of going to get this done. But I guess we can go ahead and really move into our topic, since we're kind of touching on that right now, owning ish in our own community. And I think it's something that we had a text conversation about, and I think it's something that really needs to be addressed. And why is there not more of it? What is the challenges going on, and what does it take to kind of get there? So I think that's what our topic is of the night, of why is there such a challenge in the Black community that we have so many people of different descent owning most of everything that we look at when we go into the gas station or any stores. Thoughts? Anybody want to open up?
And it's important. And like me, I would like to have my own business, but I have to find someone willing to pay for what I'm good at. I'm good at generation financing and budgeting. I'm good at, I could be a great business consultant. I can come in and help you with your customer service. I can help you with your whole layout. But I have offered this service for free just to, like, get the experience and work with the person from the ground up. And I've been turned down because people seem to think they know everything. And one thing about business, you don't know every aspect of it. There's a lot of things that I don't know, but what I do know of the proponent of what you need to do
to get started. I know about where you need to go to get your business license. I can tell you whether it's beneficial for you to get an LLC paperwork. I can draft your LLC paperwork and charge you a fraction of what you're going to do on LegalZoom or at one of these tax places. I could help you draft your menus. I can help you design. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that I know and can do. And customer service, I am great at dealing with difficult people. I am great at that. But people do not seem to find value in paying for those things because we know it. But business is possible like this all the time.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, right? I think, and it's Ashley Matisse, when I get to the top five, everybody want to be Michael Jordan. And everybody, too many alphas and not enough betas when it comes to owning a business. And then you just described a great business. One of the easiest startup businesses for our community is being a consultant. And you just laid it out of being a consultant for, like, new startups. But, like you said, you know, and that's one of our problems. We know too much. And we jump into stuff that we really don't know that much about, but in our mind, we know everything. And instead of paying a consultant to come in that will help us with the layout and putting things in its proper order in order to have a great start, which is very, very underrated in, you know, in starting a business, is the startup. But we rather just jump out there ourselves rather than pay a fee in order to have somebody help us. And we hurt in the long run.
Right. Like just being able to sit down and have, and I know, you know, I got a lot of people and I'm proud to be attached to a lot of people that are, even if it's a side hustle, running their business. Michelle Coley running her own State Farm, you know, Cassius having his own car lot. They were not overnight things. I remember Michelle wanted to own her own insurance company back when we were working for Liberty National, and that's before I even got into banking. So you're talking about over 10 years ago she had this vision, and she just was able to bring it, you know, bring it to the forefront last year. But either way, it took her that long to manifest those things, but she did the research. She did everything properly, and sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it takes you to save money. Sometimes you have to work your main hustle to get your second hustle off the ground, and to keep it in business. That's the other thing.
That is a really great point, because there's way too many people who are using their who is treating their side hustle as their main hustle, and there's no way that you can build a foundation of revenue if you basically robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right. Or borrowing money or doing something like that. And there's really nothing wrong, and I'm going to go back to as far as borrowing, but it doesn't need to be anything. Say you've been doing your side hustle and it's becoming profitable, and you're wanting to, say you got an online Amazon company, and you're needing to purchase a shed to store more material, and you're going to make that back in 3 months to pay that shed off. Or 6 months. Not to just take a loan out. I'm talking about to grow your business. Not to just take out a loan to start it. I'm talking about you got the funds, you're just missing, you're lacking this, that, and the other. What I try to tell a lot of people is those motorcycles that you paid off, that car that you have paid off, or some other security that you have paid off, or your savings and you don't want to use it all. Say you saved up $10,000, but you don't want to deplete your savings. Borrow off your savings and pay yourself back. Like there's like all these little different things that people don't think of because they don't. We got to start sitting down and talking to each other and figuring out how to get these things done. Versus saying, oh, they gonna shit on my ideal, or oh, they gonna have something negative to say. And if they do, then just walk away. Like, it's okay to walk away from people, but you gotta start asking questions and talking to people. And our business owners, we gotta be willing to give out this information. Stop acting like you're the only person that got bread. You know how many things of bread that is out and they still authorizing? Nobody's gonna do your business like you do, so share your knowledge. And that business still ain't gonna be the same because it ain't worried about you.
But you know, like in our community, that's one of the biggest things that plagues our community is the shutdown of information. Like somebody would make it and somebody else would have another vision. And it's like, I don't know if it's a fear
of them coming in and taking all the money or them coming in and taking all the customers. I really don't know what it is or what type of fear it is, but clearly something is happening from sharing their knowledge to get somebody else started.
Ever since we came up with this topic, I've been thinking of something that's been on me in the past couple of days. And since the topic is about owning-ish in the black community, it's one thing that's the gift and the curse of the black community. I'm not saying that it's not like this in other communities, but I know for a fact that the gift and the curse of the black communities is one word, hookup. It's a gift and a curse, the hookup. If you're a business owner, well, the black community gonna want the hookup. But all of us on the phone and all of our listeners have received hookups. They come through in the clutch. But since we all have received hookups, we have, whether it be from black businesses or white businesses, but especially black people, in whatever you're looking at, a hookup is always, if a hookup comes, you love it. But being a business owner or starting your business, since it is so accustomed into the black neighborhood, sometimes we fall into the trap of being thinking we're entitled to a hookup. Like, you won't go into Foot Locker and say, can y'all look out for me because I got about 3 pair of Jordans for my kids. You don't even think across your mind. But you go to Tamika, you go to Joe, you go to, you know, it's absurd to go to Cashewood, but I guess you could. Hey, I'm getting 3 dresses. Let me get it to you. I'm going to get 2 cars. You can't do nothing. But you're not going to say nothing. You know you're not saying nothing to Foot Locker. You know you're not saying nothing to Belk.
You're not going to Lock Good Dodge or whatever. I don't even know dealership no more.
They're not even telling you we're going to look out the next time. You go to Belk today and spend $1,000, they will gladly take 1,000 tomorrow. Thank you, for coming. But you're not going to even insinuate a hookup. If you go to Joe's, if you go to a black business and you spend $1,000 today, jokingly but meaningly, more than likely you're going to say, worry, look out for me next time. And if you don't say it jokingly or meaningly and you come back tomorrow to drop the 1,000, you know. And in some instances, we're going to give you the hookup standing mind. Came back the next day, $1,000, let me look out some kind of way.
Yes.
Is I giving? I mean, if you think about it, is I giving curse?
I've heard people, and I don't know, because if you got something that I need, that's just local businesses. Period. Anybody, black,
right,
white, and different. If you local, I'd rather spend my money with you. If you provide your product and it's a good product and I want it. Now I'm not gonna buy something just for the sake of, because I'm too cheap for that. Buying it for the sake of. Because I saw, you know, when they said my friend selling a shirt for $32 and she charged $32, I'm not buying no t-shirt for $32. I'm sorry, friend. But I'm not gonna haggle with you about your prices either. I'm gonna share your post, and if somebody else wanna spend that $32 for a V-neck T-shirt, they can spend the $32. But I'm not gonna spend it. But my friends should understand that and not make me spend $32 on no V-neck T-shirt. So,
and,
you know, it's a certain memes, and then the other meme I've seen about, we won't support each other because we don't want each other to be rich. I don't foresee that, because I remember when Jay-Z came up with Tidal. Jay-Z was rich before Tidal even hit the ground. So, you know, it's a streaming service ran by a black man. Let me get me some Tidal. But he was rich before he got Tidal. What's the difference with them little ones that I was giving?
But it's true. But you know how many artists ran away from jumping on their services and rather dealt with Apple than go deal with him. Why that mentality though? Because they were running to Apple to go do offer the same thing, the same streaming service pretty much. But why take your album or whatnot to see Apple eat rather than take it to him, because you know he gonna eat off of it too. So, you know, that dynamic does still play a part in it. Maybe not so much as the rich thing, but the mentality of hell no, I'm not deli- I'm not gonna let Jay Z. He got too much. I'm not gonna get him no more. I'd rather just take it out.
Hey, while we're going down this road, we've got a call in. I'm in, and let's kind of get their viewpoint.
All right.
Zero, zero, 009, is this Jarvis?
Hey, the one and only.
What's going on, my guy?
What's really good?
You tell me.
Congratulations, y'all, everybody. Yeah, man, everybody involved, man. Congratulations, man. Like, I like this, this exchange and free flowing of ideas and stuff. Now, I didn't listen. I missed last week, but the one on credit was real dope. You know what I'm saying? And like, I was listening, I was like, you know, I was picking up and learning stuff, and I had opposing viewpoints on some things, but it's just dope, man. You know what I'm saying? So congrats on that. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
But, I had to call in because this particular topic was right in my wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so I don't know if I should just come in free-flowing, or there's a question you want to ask. I mean, because there were several things that were said that I could comment on. You know, the hookup, that's big. But I think just to address that, being in business for as long as I have and just being a fan of business, I look at the
that's
hookup
what I
want as,
to ask. Like, how long have you been in business? Because that's my thing when people think they try something for 30 days and it doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
And it walks
right
away from it. And it's not that
simple. Tell the people who you are. Tell the listeners who you are. Give them your background
okay
before you go jump into the field.
Okay, that's what's up. What's up? All right, so I'm Jarvis, last name Robertson, T-Town Zone, you know, city school bred. You know, I went on and got some other degrees, but I've always been a businessman, and JB can vouch for this. You know, I was selling popsicles in the summer, you know, and so I've always been a businessman, always loved business, always saw myself being a businessman. I started the brand Joe Dews, Inspired by Life, Art, and Dreams. Please say the Inspired by Life, Art, and Dreams. But the idea really was I was influenced by, you know, I'm a hip-hop baby. So around 99, when the Fat Farms and the Rockaways and stuff was booming, I was like, yo, the South really doesn't have a representative. And I know Outkast has some clothing, but during that time in Tuscaloosa, we was all about pink polos and plaid shorts and white K-Swiss. And so as I got old, I said, yo, we don't even have, like, our own representative. And so I started the brand, like, really the idea of it, like, in 99. So, you know, through that whole phase from now, from then until now, you know, I've opened the store. I worked for plenty of clothing brands. You know, I worked in retail. I didn't manage the Gap. I didn't been a buyer. You know, I didn't worked in so many different fields. So this was just me learning the game and saying, hey, everybody get their stuff from China. I can get mine from China. You know, but it wasn't until the internet and other things came along that I was able to do that. So it's almost like a person that's working graphic design. Nowadays, they can fix things digitally really fast. But if they came from a print background, they have a different eye. So I was at Foot Locker when the lines were forming for Jordans. You know what I mean? So, like, my gambit as it relates to business is different because I didn't skip no steps. So I hadn't been in business, like, no 30 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always knew I wanted to do this. Now, as it pertains to people being naysayers, when I started with a bow tie, I had people tell me that people didn't wear bow ties. It was disheartening to come from your family or friends, but it didn't stop me. People laughed at the name. They laughed at the logo. And so any young person or anybody that wants to start a business, I think it revolves around, one, is it something that you're into? Because it's going to be some sleepless nights. It's going to be some lean times when you're not even making no money. And you got to know how to fall back. It's going to be times when you see something or people around you may be blossoming and you're like, well, I got to take my money and reinvest it in my company, and it may not even come back as fast. So there's a lot of pitfalls, a lot of challenges, but it ain't no different than going to work. Getting up every day and going to work for somebody else is challenging. So there's no difference. The only difference is you don't have a guaranteed paycheck at the end of a period of time. I knew when I went to work for other people, minimum wage back then, $4.75.
Wow.
I felt like, you know, that's how far I go back with working. You know what I'm saying? Then it moved up to like $5.15. You know what I'm saying? But I felt like, okay, if I put in 20 hours, multiply that, and that's before taxes, then I got hit with taxes. And all those things you don't even think about when you're working for someone. But then when you start being your own person that's responsible for paying taxes, dealing with the city, dealing with the state, dealing with the federal, this ain't a playground for anybody who gonna tuck their tail when they get chucked. That's first. You know what I'm saying? I never forget. It just stopped me at any time. But I never forget. I went to this man. I was like, yo, I want to be an entrepreneur. And the first thing he told me was spell it. And that's a tricky word to spell if you don't, you're not used to spelling it. You know what I'm saying? And so just from ground one, I'm like, and I was already 10 years in. And this is the OG that got like millions of dollars told me that. He's like, nah, let me talk to you. And so even with everything that I've learned, I'm still learning. Things are fast now with digital. I don't need a storefront no more to be international. I couldn't be international with a storefront anyway because that's just on one block. I sell around the world from the internet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of barriers to entry that have been reduced, but the footwork still got to get put in. And I think with just ownership and just to kind of bring it back to Tuscaloosa, it's sickening to me the lack of ownership. And what I mean is when I was coming up, I could look at Danny Ray Steele, he's still around. I saw C. Harris run the spot, had a T-shirt business. I saw Wade, you know what I'm saying? I saw the printing shops. I saw the cobblers. I saw the restaurants. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw the people. I was around so many entrepreneurs. That's one of the reasons why I got into it. Charles Story with real estate. I interned with him. You want to learn? All right, come on. And so I appreciate entrepreneurship. But what I understand about it is there's an ecosystem. I need JV to go make his money so he can support your dudes. I need Tank to go do what he does so he can say, I'm going to spend with my cousin when I need a scarf. He got something I like. I need to be able to spend with Tank and say, hey, Tank, somebody need a DJ. Yo, what you got on this day? See, the exchange ain't hard. But what happens is I think social media, stunting as a habit, got in the way because it ain't cool to eat bologna sandwiches no more. Not when you go to social media and your thug popping Cristal or gold bottles or whatever they drinking. I want to drink Ciroc. No, it might be a secret gin night. It may be cut out the drinking altogether. Save that money, invest that money. It don't take much to buy nothing to flip it. If you can sell dope or you interested in the street game, you can start a business. It's the same thing. The only difference is you got to reinvest your money the same way you go cop, but you got to go reinvest your money. And now you ain't doing this for Jordans. Because your business ain't doing something. Come on.
Hey, Jarvis, we got another caller coming in, and I want to go – before we jump in on this next call, I want to go ahead and have Joe do his top five because I kind of want to touch on that. So if you hang in there, okay, we'll bring you back in a little bit later. We want to run through a couple more things.
For sure.
All right. Appreciate you, my guy.
For sure.
Joe, because I think that anything that we kind of touch on that we're going to end up kind of getting around your top five. So if you would you kind of go ahead and share with us your top five for tonight?
Yeah, and I went about the top five a little differently this week. I'm telling you the five things that it takes to do this or the five things that it takes to do that. This week I wanted to show you know, our listeners the five of the things that most plague our people, our communities, our business owners, and why black businesses fail so fast. I was alarmed to, you know, and realized that 80% of black businesses failed within the first year. Like, and I'm gonna state that again, because that's like, to me, it's just alarming. 80% of black businesses failed within the first year. And that was like, whoa, so what is causing this rapid failure? And so I'm gonna go through the five things that plague our business owners. Number five, Mika brought this up earlier, not enough research. A lot of people jump into businesses that they feel like they have a passion for, but they don't go do the homework that it takes to make sure that business is ran properly. What is the numbers? What is the startup? What does the, you know, the revenue look like? You know, do you have a product that is needed in the space in which that you're opening up this business in? How can you get people to come into your establishment, you know, at a rapid rate in order to see your profit? You know, to do research on where you're going to open up this business and your clientele is very, very important. And I think you need to do the research before you even begin to even start talking about opening something up. So before you even go grab keys and go get business licenses and go do all that, do the research first. Number four, too many chiefs. And we see it. You know, you get these businesses open up, and there's 3-4 owners in it. Everybody, like I said, everybody want to be Michael Jordan. Don't nobody take pride in being Scottie Pippen. No, like, don't nobody want to be Steve Kerr. There is a position for you that might not be as prestigious as the top man, but the business still has to be ran by a lot of individuals under the top man. And you can take pride in that. And, you know, a lot of people walk away because they don't get the recognition that Michael Jordan gets. Yeah, it's true. Everybody sees the man, the name, and likes. But there's a lot of people up under the man that makes that business run. So, you know, take pride in being that and not try to overthrow the person at the top. Number three, and we do this a lot, and I think Tay talked about it with the hookup. We value hiring family and friends over people with experience. We would start a business, and everybody within that business would either be our uncle, our cousin, our aunt. These people have not had no type of experience in customer service relations or anything like that, food prep, or none of that. But we would hire them over people that are, you know, experienced. Why is that? I guess because it's cool to sit down at the table with the people that you start off with, and I get it, you know, but you won't have a table if it crumbles because people don't have the experience it needs for their business to run properly. I try to tell people in business, get experienced individuals around you. You will go a long way. Blood thicker than water, so they say, but green's supposed to be thicker than them all. And you're not going to make no money if you do not hire experienced individuals to work with you. Number two, we don't adapt. You know what I mean? Like, there's no adaptability in our business. We are set in stone in what we want to do. I look at Blockbuster was a prime example of this. Blockbuster was like a mom and pop video shop. And for, you know, for our younger listeners, you could go get videos and games and whatnot for your VHSs. And Blockbuster took advantage of the thought of everybody had a VCR. But what they didn't do was understand that the internet was coming. And when they turned around and saw the internet was booming, they still stayed in their same path and what they wanted to do. And what happened? Redbox took them over. Netflix took them over. They died instantly as soon as the internet hit them. Streaming pretty much killed Blockbuster and this multi-million-dollar business or whatnot. Why? Because they wouldn't adapt to their consumers. Everything is changing around us every day. And we got to be able to adapt. So don't get set on what's making you money today. Always look at the climate for tomorrow and, you know, let your business adapt. And I think the number one thing that plague our business, and, you know, I would love to hear people's thoughts on this, It's poor customer service. And I would just say there's many different, you know, I don't know. We have become the poster child for real of negative stereotypes. You know, not to say that there's other people, our lighter counterpart, like they don't have poor customer service, or we can't call in different organizations in different places or whatever, and they don't have poor customer service. But for whatever reason, we have become like the poster children, pretty much, of black business, poor customer service. And I think it plagues people's mindset of us. There's a lot of times where we want to go support a business, but we get on, some people get on social media and heal the business or whatnot, and then you hear this whole adamant of, y'all don't want to support the black business, y'all don't want to support the black business. But I should be able to come into your business, black, white, gray, or whatever, and be treated, you know, fairly. I don't want to be skipped because your homeboy coming in or, you know, your homegirl gets 7 wings and I get 4. You know what I mean? Like, you're taking $5 off your friend meal, but I have this, you know what I mean? Like, so poor customer service goes a long way in derailing a business. And I think, you know, that's the number one thing that we would have to fix in black business, being able to treat the customer right. So that's my top five. I, you know, whenever y'all, I would love to hear y'all points on it.
I think that's wonderful. And you mentioned some good points. And then, like you said, just planning. You've got to figure out, because I'm going to tell you, I tell people all the time when they, such and such LLC, did you file LLC paperwork? No. Well, you can't put LLC at the end of your name. That's a legal entity. That means something.
I think you
need to call yourself, you know, without knowing. And so just preparing, knowing the difference between a sole proprietorship and a LLC. Sole proprietorship is what you're probably going to end up doing, because that's just going to allow you to get your business license and begin to get into business. LLC is just an advantage of that. If you're doing something that when you really start making money, you want to separate your personal money from your business money, that's when you become an LLC, because you're two different entities.
What do you consider right. When you say when you really start making money? When do you say that's when it's time to make that shift from sole proprietorship to an LLC?
Truth be told, once you're in business and you're starting to make money, where you're seeing a profit, where you're being able to reinvest into the company, that should be one of your reinvestments to go ahead and get your LLC. Because we know now, just like Jarvis was saying, in the days of social media, if you're selling a product, it only takes the right share, the right person to make that pop, then you'll already be in. So I don't want nobody to think they're going to make a whole bunch of money, but it should be to a point where you're able, because you're looking, depending on who you have, to do it, you're looking at anywhere from $400 to $1,000 to do your LLC paperwork. But if you contact me, you know, you can inbox me on social media. I'll teach you how to do it cheaper. You can do it yourself.
Oof. Look at them jewels. Look at them jewels.
Or you can pay me a smaller fee, but, you know, I'd rather do it yourself in line.
I'd rather shop with Tamika. $400 might be about $300, $275. It's well worth it. But
and
to your point, I like all your points, Joe.
Yeah.
Only one I would switch positions with it, or I would add a lot of time, is a lack of capital and the understanding of just how much money you need to have your business. A lot of time, a lot of the black-owned businesses don't go get the loans or don't get grants.
Mm-hmm.
They go in with your – if you go in with your personal money, you're going to be in trouble. If you go in with your personal money, it's just like jumping into the river. You know, it might be sometimes you might have to use some of your personal money. But if you're trying to start a full-fledged business, all personal, you know, it's not, you know, of course, there's always exceptions to the rules. But still, you want to use as less of your money as you can. But a lot of times, with a lot of black people.
And I'm a little, you know, and I ask a lot of questions at times, but can somebody, like, for our listeners, throw out the business plan? Because that's what one of the listeners texted me about. What about starting a business plan? Going there, get a business loan with a business plan. They wanted to know, is that an accurate thing? Like, can you really sit down and do a business plan and go get a business loan?
Yeah. One thing of what people get misconstrued about business loans is that when you are a new business, there are some companies, and I wish I would have researched it, and I'll research it and put it on our Facebook page that will go live sooner or later. Some startup companies, but there's not a lot of startup money, but there are companies out there. I think they changed their name. It used to be Lyft Fund, but I'll research that and I probably have to research. I got it on my computer somewhere. But I'll come up with those names, and y'all remind me to post them. But for the most part, when it comes to business loans, you're going to be looking at your personal credit, and that goes, again, to keeping your stuff in order.
Right.
Because you can't build business credit until you build your personal credit. Because everything is going to be on you, and then it'll get to a point where you can separate the two and things of that nature as you build, as you get more capital, as your bank account grows. All of that goes hand in hand. But once you go in business, before you go in business, you need to get your personal stuff in order, so that is a possibility.
Right.
But
back to the credit.
I've never given anybody a loan with a business plan. Now, I'm not saying a business plan is not needed. But I do know, as far as building credit, there's several different ways to do it. And most of the time, people are not giving you money for a startup. Now, I think they have grants and things of that nature. But unless you're using your personal credit, have some type of collateral or something going on to take advantage of that.
Okay.
Hey, we've got I think we got another caller. I'm going to bring them in. Last four numbers are 4105. Do you have anything you want to share with Game 7 Radio? Last four numbers, 4105. Do you have anything you want to share?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's going on, bro? Yep.
What's happening with you, bro? You don't have a clue who this is. What's happening, guys?
I bet I do.
You got it. Well, obviously, first of all, you know, good job doing this, having this platform. We always need to be able to voice these types of things, and this is kind of near and dear to my heart. First, you know, there's a lot of great things you guys touched on, and there's so many things that we need to be concerned about when it comes to businesses in our community. Tuscaloosa is really, really, I don't know what to call it, an anomaly, or it's just different. But, you know, for you that don't know, I'm Step Lewis. But I sit on the steering committee for the city of Tuscaloosa. And one of the things that was important to me was, what were we going to be able to do, or was there anything that we were going to be able to take advantage of in our community as far as opportunities, if there was any money coming through, where the money is going to be, you know, all of those things that you kind of need. You got to start being, you know, as a community, we have to be thinking about what's coming down the pike in the future. Going to these events, going to anything that's talking about the future of the city, we have to be present. One thing that I noticed is we're never present at these things. So
this is true.
A lot of times, you know, a lot of things that we complain about that are popular for black people to complain about aren't really necessarily that true. I mean, because I think you have to participate and you have to see if someone is really trying to block you before you can say they're blocking you. So if you don't go and participate, you could just say, "Yeah, they ain't going to let us do this, or they're not going to let us do that." That's one of the problems that I see. Tuscaloosa is one of the worst cities in the state of Alabama for entrepreneurs. So when you come under Phoenix City, or Opelika is better than Tuscaloosa, or all these other cities that are doing a much better job at black business ownership or local business ownership altogether. There's a whole culture. I've been fortunate enough to go and see different markets, different cities over the last few months. And it's just amazing. A lot of the things that we complain about in our community here, other communities complain about it, but they complain about there's different levels to it. So there's zero. If we had to look at a scale, there would be Tuscaloosa would be about a one for black entrepreneurism. So Birmingham would probably be like a four. I was in Dallas. Dallas would be kind of like a seven. You know what I'm saying? Atlanta would be kind of like a seven. Even though it's a lot of black businesses there, it's just really about what they do. You know, it's a lot of barbershops, a lot of clothing stores. They all do the same thing. There's not a whole lot of diversity in the type of businesses that we own. I could go on, and there's a lot of myriad of different things that we have. But one of the things that I always hear, and I'm a marketing guy, so I hear this often, or I don't hear it. Whenever I hear a group of black people talking about business, so whether they're startups, whether they're long-term or whatever, I never hear them talk about marketing their business. That is one of the number one reasons why black businesses fail, because we depend too much on word of mouth and not on actually promoting and marketing our business. It is not really for you to get that sale the next day. It's really to show people that you respect your business. It's really to show people that you believe in your business enough to put it out there so they should believe in it. And it's not to just expect people to do business with you because you're black or because you're family or because we're friends, but it's that, you know, you got to promote to people that don't know you. Because the people that do know you don't do business with you for a whole bunch of different reasons. You got to talk to people that don't know you. So our friends and family get us on the ground and get us going. But just like Tank was saying, you know, like, after we get on the ground, get it going, next year you're going to be looking for a hookup. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you should have stepped your game up by now. Like, you should be able to give me that. You know, I was paying full price or whatever, but, you know, the hookup shouldn't be a part of our business, just a part of our culture. And I think that we got to be smart about what we should expect. Some people are going to expect, you know, sometimes you can – some people are going to expect more out of you than you think they should anyway. So they're going to be happy. They're going to be mad whether you give it to them or not. They might they're going to appreciate it if you give it to them. They're going to be mad at you if you don't. You know what I'm saying? So so there's a lot of different things, you know, but I do appreciate what you guys are doing. These are conversations that we got to have. But this is a totally different era. I've been into some markets, some urban markets, some black markets that are just so supportive, and they make you feel good about being there. I've had people take me all over town to different businesses. I'm like going, this never would have happened in Tuscaloosa. Like can you imagine going to a record store in Tuscaloosa or a restaurant in Tuscaloosa and saying, I didn't want barbecue day, I wanted chicken, and the store owner go, let me call my boy who owns the chicken restaurant and I'll give you directions to get over there. Or I'll take you over there. Or here's his card, or here's his, well, like, that, I see that so much in other markets. I don't see our people in Tuscaloosa supporting other businesses. It's kind of like, you know, well, if you got $5, I want to get as much of that $5 as I can, and I don't want nobody else to get that. You know, we have, it's a culture here, and it's really, really sad when you go to places that culture doesn't exist. Because I'll talk to somebody, and, like, I'll be feeling funny. I didn't know how much Tuscaloosa was in me because somebody tried to do something for me. I'm like, what do you want? Like, why are you trying to do this for me? What do you want out of me? I'm like going, dude, you got to get rid of that, because they sincerely are trying to help you. And that just felt really weird. And I was like, wow. That's how we get down at the crib, because I was feeling weird. You know what I'm saying? So it's the culture. We have to do a better job about creating an entrepreneurial climate. And I don't want to talk too long, but that's kind of some of the stuff that I just wanted to throw out there.
I appreciate that. And we'll bring you back in, Steph. We're going to kind of touch on some of the things that you brought up. Appreciate you.
Hey, go ahead. Y'all, congrats on what y'all are doing.
Thanks, man.
All right, appreciate it.
You guys know what I tell my staff all the time as a pep talk.
What's that?
When I see that their member service is lacking, I sit up and I tell them, I always tell them one thing. People don't have to come see us. People stop coming to see us. This branch is no longer needed, and we no longer have jobs. So you're to treat everyone, even when they don't deserve it, you're to treat everyone like they're the most important person in the world when they walk in the store. You want to know why people come see me? Because I take care of them. You want to know why people come see me? Because I'm going to answer that question. Even when sometimes I will get ill with you if you take my cell phone after hours, but I'm still going to take care of you because I appreciate my job and I appreciate people looking out for me. And that's why business, period, that needs to go even with Wendy's. Wendy's, if folks stop coming to you on 69 South, you ain't got no reason to be open. They close restaurants every day, B.
Straight up, every day.
That includes Otis and Clyde, and I like them.
These are facts, bro. Like, good customer service, send out referrals bring in more people equals more money, and that should just be the train of thought.
Right, because people have a choice. When it comes to their money, there are so many options. People have choices. And when people don't make you the choice, you are no longer needed. There's no reason. If I'm not doing my job and I'm not bringing in stuff, then there's no reason to have me.
So kind of going on what Steph said about the, and you were kind of touching on, Joe, about the referrals, about the lack of marketing, and I do believe that people lean so heavily on getting a poster done and posting about a party. I feel like marketing is at an all time low as far as people just thinking it. They can share it with their friends and tag people in, and their business is gonna grow that way.
I mean, there was a time not too long ago when I lived in Atlanta, and Tamika would come visit, or when I just lived over there. You can't imagine the amount of, like you say, handbill flyers you would see, the marketing, the billboards. These boys are out. Girls are out every day. And it's personal. They got customer service with it if you catch them. You know, you can be out there going to your car. There they go. But now, like you said, the internet has put the laziness in it. The part is not going to jump it because, like you said, you just sharing it. But, you know, we literally had to pull the 75 flyers off their front windshield if you go to Midtown or you go to Buckhead. Guaranteed, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, without question, they're working. They're working. They're marketing. They're building up. They're telling you. You in your mind, you're saying, damn, I got it. There's no way I've seen this on my vehicle. They're reaching out and touching me three or four times this week. They may have my attention now.
Yeah.
You know? Like Tamika said about a lot of people think viral, but like to your point, Jay, a party flyer can be hard for that to go viral. You know, Popeye's looked up with the chicken sandwich. That's viral. Bam, that's cash to them.
Right.
You know, you got people complaining why we won't go back there. Well, you share it, and then you'll see. If you share it and it's not going viral, there is the answer to your question. Because viral means just that. There's no rules to that. It's people, for some whatever reason, they like it. They're drawn to it right now. It has their attention. Bam. It's gone.
But if you could think back, and I'm glad you brought up the Popeye thing, because that was a great marketing thing. That shows you the strength of the internet, because the internet is a gift and a curse.
Oh,
like you said.
The internet is very powerful. It can go powerful in a good way or a bad way.
Yeah.
But
paid people to make them lazy. Like, people have become lazy in marketing because of the internet. But at the same time, you know, because of the internet.
Some people
still do that touch and go thing, and you still have to be personable when you catch some of the people out there in the streets on the street team. But yeah, without question, I thought that Popeye's that whole layout of marketing was ingenious. Who's the heavyweight? Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A got the best chicken sandwich. But put out there that our sandwich is better than Chick-fil-A, and watch the argument. Whether it's bad publicity or good publicity, people were talking about it. People wanted to compare, and they ran their ass out of the Popeyes to go see, is this better than the sandwich that we all know is like the king sandwich? But they had a plan, and they put it out there, and the internet did. Why can't we do that with our business? Like, why don't we, you know, instead of, like Jay said, because Jay made a great point, we tag 40 people, and we feel like that's it. That's going to do it. But we need a plan and a, you know, a research team maybe to see what it is that you can jump out there and throw out there that would get people to brand their ass in their business.
But and it still goes back to the chicken sandwich. You're right, except for it's not wasn't brand new.
It wasn't. The plan was.
They've been there.
Huh? Yeah, the sandwich been there. But the
right.
The plan, the marketing plan changed. It was, you know, instead of just telling people to come out here and support our chicken sandwich, it switched to, I guarantee you, our chicken sandwich better than Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. And then
we
all came like, you know what I mean? Right. And that was the thing. Like, we going to be open on Sunday for the chicken sandwich. I bet they're not. Come see us.
But
and that,
do you
and
think
that
they came from that committee? I didn't know that was the marketing to blow them. I thought the comedian made the video, and from the video, it had people going. I didn't think they dropped the seed. I thought just an average.
No, I don't even remember seeing that video. I know I'm tired of the chicken sandwich.
But they took advantage of the video though. Like you know,
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
They,
like,
oh, they definitely capitalized off it. They
yeah, sometimes gold just fall. Sometimes gold just fall into your hand, and you just gotta
right.
like run
I
with it after
right.
it.
Right.
Oh, it's the same thing with the guy that made the patty pie so famous. He went viral. He
right.
ended up working with Tamar Braxton. I mean, when he
right.
I,
what he did was the best thing possible. He knew. He understood the other thing about viral. He's gonna be here and gone. I mean, people were bootlegging Patty LaBelle pies from that Thanksgiving, but when Christmas came, you couldn't give them away. You had like a week and a half window if you was a street guy with it. And the Walmart
right.
craze was just going crazy. Then when it Christmas came, they had more pies. But hey, guess what? These motherfucking pies are not better than my auntie pies.
They're not. Do you know?
Right.
But
hey,
but
I mean, I feel like
I just wanted to bring up one thing that we were just talking about, businesses that don't succeed. And I think it goes to your number five, Joe, about not enough research. I think there's way too many businesses of people starting a business of what they want to do or what they, but they're not actually bringing value to the audience or, the, you know, filling a niche. Just because you enjoy. Well, was that, Joe?
No, I'm saying that's a great point. Like, I agree with that 1,000%.
And it goes to even what you said about everybody doesn't have to be the chief. You know, everybody wants to be the chief. And a lot of people are making a lot of good money being the number two and being the number three.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing being wrong being the number two and number three.
Listen, I don't mind. If I ever get to a point where I'm able to, I know what I want to invest in. You ain't even got to know I'm involved.
Right.
I ain't got to have a picture or nothing. Just make my shit out to cash.
Right. Make my shit out to cash. Talking about a joke rider, I've been in plenty of businesses now. All the time.
If I was a destiny child, there would still be a destiny child because I would never complain about two-stepping and saying do-do-do in the microphone and let Beyonce dance all night long and get that shit on back so I can keep my chick coming.
Yeah. But everybody don't have that mentality though. You know what I mean? Like they just don't. And a lot of friction happening because you get too much of the limelight, you get too much of the spotlight. You know what I mean? Like but today's point, I do feel like the research has to be done. Like what's the point of opening up certain businesses in a market that are not coming to deal with you, bro, like not at all.
Right.
So you know, you want to think about what the consumers are missing right now that they definitely have a need for, and you be the first person to do that. You know what I mean? Like, there was this quote that said, "Figure out where everybody's going, beat them there, and go by the lane." And that's the mentality you gotta have. Like, you know what I mean? Just figure out what the mentality is of everybody. Figure out where they're going, beat them to it, and then buy all the land there. And by the time they get there, they owe you, they pay you. And so if we have that mindset in business, then maybe we could get somewhere. But just opening up a business because you like to do it doesn't mean the consumer is about to come shop with you at all.
And just because you sent out a post that said, I'm thinking about doing this business and you get 37 likes is also not a reason. Don't let like get you jammed up. People put a lot of trust in like.
And please use Bob Dole's internet correctly when you're researching. It's all you can find out anything you're looking for on Bob Dole's internet if you use it correctly.
And I think Mika, me and you actually had that conversation the other day about even as far as checking reviews and all of that. I mean, we don't have phone books like we used to, but you can definitely find a Google review in a minute.
Oh yeah, yep, gonna be your brand. Google review.
Right. I don't order from anything online before I Google them. I need to know the pros, the cons. It took you 62 days to get your shirt. I'm good. I ain't buying.
Right.
I go somewhere else. You know, because people going to put it out there.
Right. That goes back to the great customer service and business, right? You're right. We can't. Before Nipsey Hussle even passed away, it took me from Black Friday to MLK to get my hoodie. Just pre-death. His last Black Friday. So when he passed, better than I wanted to see it, the internet already, the website's already telling you, 4 month wait. Come on, dude.
So how do we get this far in the show without mentioning one of those people? And I know his passing kind of shed a light on something that him and other people have been doing for years. But that mentality of buying the neighborhood back and fighting gentrification, is that something that we as a people should be pushing towards? Because I know, I know his death kind of shed light on it, and I know other individuals are doing it, probably been doing it all over the United States and whatever, and you know how it is with people passing. It kind of blow it up more so than norm. But is that something that we should be doing? Should we be fighting gentrification in our neighborhood?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Because you'll be putting all of me out.
What neighborhoods are being gentrified in Tuscaloosa?
That's my next question. Was that a Tuscaloosa gentrification question? Or was that you talking about Black community gentrification?
Just in total. Yeah, but to your point, I do see the... Not to that scale of Tuscaloosa neighborhoods being gentrified, but show me, you know, in every Tuscaloosa neighborhood, especially on my west, there are stores and storefronts that are owned by people that are not Black.
Plenty. But also, you're talking about some of the people that are being able to open. What is it from? Cooperative economics, family members. I'm not going to speak and say the exact one, but there is a nationality of people that when people open the business, everybody in the family has to give them $10,000. But they have to pay it forward. And so that's how they're able to open up their shops, and there's so many of them, because these nationalities are using cooperative economics. We haven't figured that part out yet. We haven't figured out the cooperative economics. If Jay wanted to start a business and I had $10,000 and I believe in him, I should be able to. If it's a short term loan, because he's trying to do it. I've seen the place. I've seen the business plan. I've seen all the backers. It'll come together and make it work. For whatever reason, we ain't figured out the cooperative economic part. We ain't figured it out. And a lot of nationalities have.
Now, to be fair and devil's advocate, we got a couple of more decades to go before niggas start handing out $10,000 to She's exactly right what she's talking about,
though.
But I just know we got a little while.
But that's
to
the
get
problem.
To
that. And that is the problem.
Right.
That is a huge problem.
Right.
But that's cooperative economics. Even though it is thanks to Kara Ash, I get involved with Kwanzaa much more than I ever have, and I love the teaching. And that is one thing that I know for sure that we lack, because
right.
we don't want to make, we don't, we're scared to lose the money, make the investment or whatever, or, oh, they're going to do this, or we don't trust them. But that's why you have partnership agreements. That's why you have documentation to save you. You can sign, you can do that. Like, there's ways to protect your investment, but cooperative economics. If we don't figure that part out, we're going to continue to be backwards.
Right. And I will say that's a great point. I'm glad you even brought that up. Because when I lived in the city, I used to talk to, like you say, different nationalities, even nationalities of dark skin color, some Africans that I knew. That's what they own. And I was like,
oh,
man.
Nigerians?
I remember.
Nigerians? Oh, my God. They are on it. I'm talking about as far as making sure when some, they don't even have to know them, ever lay eyes on them. If they find out that they're Nigerian and they move to the States, they got their bag, figuring out how to get them a vehicle, where to stay. I'm talking about all of that.
I've seen one of my coworkers, like Mick saying, man, he was sent, like she's saying. Exactly what you're saying. He was sent to America from the Congo. A lot of those people get sent by the other people putting up money, taking a visit in the center. Then he turned sending money, they went back and grab, then it goes on. But it just, it's funny because the way she said it, I remember saying, and this was 15 years ago, man, we just ain't going to trust Uncle Bob's son, Lil Sid, because Lil Sid messed around and got eight of them $10,000. He did. And we can't do nothing but either fight Lil Sid and just break up the Thanksgiving or break up the family reunion. So Lil Sid got to make down.
Had to make that.
We all got brothers and cousins and sisters we love to death, but we got sons.
Yeah, and
you can't let them get to the top.
You should not invest in. There's some people
right.
that you already
gotta tell
know.
Them no.
They never show up on their job on time.
Right.
That's only paying them $10 an hour. So why would you put in the money in their pocket?
Yeah. Right. You know
they
what?
Can't show up on time. They don't finish tasks. Don't get up and go. Huh?
Tamika, you know why, Tamika?
Why?
Because of Joel's point number four. We, for some reason, you go hire your cousins, somebody that ain't ready to do the job. And you're right. We don't know why they do that. They do it. I don't know what we're supposed to
do. Do y'all know who Queen is? She owns the Crayon Case.
Crayon. Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
She made $1 million in one day on a Black Friday sale last year.
Damn, she sure
she don't even like makeup, but she got a makeup company. She hired people in her warehouse. Now, she does have some family members, but, like, say, for instance, I think she got a cousin that's a warehouse manager. That's what he was doing somewhere else for years. She hired people that had been doing that particular job. She needed to feel that's the only way in her family can work for her. And she preached about that all the time, not hiring family members that don't have no work ethic or no job. Because what you don't do.
Right.
Unless you got to look at it, you're going to make a cashier. It ain't got no, and you want to keep them the business from the ground up.
Right.
But don't go get anybody that won't hold a job. Like my mama say, take some pies in a pie factory. You know you got to be fired.
But yeah, we're down to the last minute. Any parting shots before we go?
I got one parting shot and I'm done. Don't y'all go getting $50 million and try to ask for my credentials when I need my $300,000 a year job. Go ahead.
Wait, what?
He crazy.
Can y'all get jobs?
That man a crazy ass man.
Don't mind me.
My part starts for tonight, bro. Game 7. Rest in peace to my boy Joy Crack, from the West Side, baby. Just want to say, RIP to him and his fam. I know his, you know, they got a little fun up for his town.
you know what I mean, to help with Christmas or whatnot. I know you can find it on their page, Joanna Roberts. I want to say, just go find, like, the legitimate spot to go donate to that and look out. And also, shout out to all the black businesses that we do have in Tuscaloosa that's doing their thing and doing their right. I salute all y'all.
There's
a ton of them. So shop Tuscaloosa, shop Small Business, shop Black Owned. And, you know, much love to all those businesses and organizations that are doing things the right way.
Because I want people to be clear. We're just talking about doing it right, and there's a lot of people that are doing it right.
Oh, it's a ton of businesses in town that that's got it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
This,
what, you know
this,
what I mean?
This
you
is
know.
Just to show you what you need to do it right and what's going on within the community. Not saying, I mean, this. Hey, like even Jarvis, even Steph was saying, other places. So it ain't, it's not just everywhere, but it's pocketed. And what we're trying to do is to grow it, to get the black economic dollar to grow everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
One thing you got to realize is that we are never trying to shut anybody down, because if you're trying, that's way better than anybody that's sitting there talking about people
right.
that ain't trying.
Right.
Always
Jesus.
Put forth the effort. Just take the time
Thanks.
And do a bit, you know, do better.
Also, we got a lot of parting shots. Also, don't be discouraged. If you make anything, if you do anything, any progress is great as a business. Like you said, a lot of them fail in the first year because they get frustrated and wash themselves out. Don't wash yourself
right.
out. Don't give up. Stay in.
Right.
It's going to be it's gonna be rough going, but you just got to stay in. Stay. Yeah. But it'll grow. That's what
but
I think
you can
happens.
Hold it
down. You run to a job.
I salute everybody trying. Like Mika said, it's easy not to try. But you know what I mean? Like for those who done got up and start taking the steps to do it, we just offering ways to do it right, hoping everybody grow in business and have a great successful end of the year and a 2020. And you know, it's all the new black businesses that start up, you know what I mean, salute to y'all, and hopefully we inspire somebody to go get it right, do some research and go open up a business and, you know, wish you nothing but prosperous futures. How about that?
Game 7 Radio, we're about to be promoting our page. We've got full bit episodes, and we've got little sound bits and little small clips from previous episodes. Check us out, Game 7 Radio, online on Facebook.
Game
That's
7.
It, y'all. That's it, and that's all. Thanks, y'all.
All right, Game 7.